Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Lamed Dal. We have one more mission to do on Lamed in the fifth parak, which we'll do right now. And then Mir Tzeshem today, we're going to start the sixth parak of the Masechta. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Ishmael Libi Gabriela Bashmuel. First things first, let's finish the fifth parak of the Masechta. The fifth parak of the Masechta dealt with Hekdesh Taos. First, made a declaration. He was mistaken about a certain number of facts. He thought the black animal was coming out of the house. And meanwhile, the white animal came out of the house, and he made a declaration that the first black animal was going to come out as Bikadosh. And Beis Shammai, throughout this parak, has taught us that even though he made mistakes, but nevertheless, the Hekdesh doesn't in fact belong to Hekdesh. He was successfully consecrating the animal. We don't pass like Beis Shammai, we pass like Beis Hillel throughout our parak, that the Hekdesh house is not considered Hekdesh, and it led to a number of interesting machloks throughout this parak. We talked about a woman who declared herself to be a Nazirah, and her husband was being Mefer. And so now again, it's Betos. It was done an Aaron mistake. The mistake was she didn't find out from her husband whether or not he approved. But nevertheless, he was Mefer, and then the animals are Yotzei L'chulin. They go free, and prompted another interesting discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We had a mission that we did yesterday where people were... We had a Mishnah. I'll just go back. One mission before that. We had a Mishnah taking us back to the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So the animals were lost or stolen, and he made his naziris, but was not thinking that the animals would be stolen. They were. So is that considered a nazir betos? And then we had a very interesting scenario where people were coming to the Beis Hamikdash to offer their karbanos, only to learn that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Is that hektish betos? Is that considered a mistaken hektish? And then the last thing we did yesterday was the Mishnah regarding the guy that was walking to them. He was in a distance right now. He's not really recognizable. And then there was a debate between two guys whether he is or he's not Ploni. Was he so-and-so or was he not so-and-so? Each one of them making a statement of Nazirus based on something they thought to be factual. It was infactual. It was not factual. And and again, same machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Next, Mishnah describes Roas HaKoi. Person goes ahead and sees a koi. Okay, you've been around long enough to Shas, you'll know the koi is a mystery animal. Okay, you can call it a buffalo. I mean, just because I gave it a name doesn't mean anything. But in other words, it's a mystery animal. We know in the world of halacha, we basically compartmentalize animals into one of two categories. Either an animal is a chai or it's a behema. Behema is what we would translate as a domesticated animal. Basically, those animals that are offered up on the mizbeach. And then chai are wild animals. Wild animals like deer, gazelle. Right, the number of chayos are kosher. I think the Torah goes through 11 of them that are kosher. But in other words, they're called wild because A, they're generally speaking out in the wild, and probably more notably, they're not offered on the Mizbech. The Mizbech only accepts quote unquote domesticated animals. The cows, the deer, not the deer, the cows, the cattle, the sheep, the goats. Okay, those are the ones that go up onto the Mizbeach. So the koi is a mystery animal. It's very difficult to categorize whether or not it's a behemah or a chai. In fact, throughout the Gemara, we know that's a machlokus. It's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. What category to put the koi in? Is it a behemah or is it a chaya? And it's very difficult to categorize. In terms of why it makes a difference, whether it's a behemah or a chaya, so there are two important halachic ramifications. A behemah, you're not allowed to eat the chelev, the forbidden fats of a behemah. You are allowed to eat the chelev of a chaya. So that is one very important difference between a behemah and a chaya. So this koi is a suffix, we don't know. Another major difference between a behemah and a chaya is the mitzvah of kisu adam. We know that when you shecht birds and chayos, so the first blood that gets spilled on the ground, so you take a little bit of dirt, cover the blood, mitzvah in the Torah, kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is only for chaya. There is no mitzvah of kisui hadam as it relates to behema. So again, just two simple nafkaminas, whether something's a chaya or behema. Our mission now, not getting into the details of those basic differences, but our mission over here just simply analyzes a scenario in which we're looking at the koi, and everyone has an opinion of what it is. Of course, everyone has an opinion. So, Rasekav Amar Harini Nazir Shezeh Chaya. So, we're going to have a total of 9 people. The first one says, you know, that's a Chaya. Good. And I'm going to be a Nazir because that animal is a Chaya. Okay. Good. And then Harini Nazir Shezeh Einu Chaya. The second person comes along and says, I'm going to be a Nazir based on the fact that it's not a Chaya. Third guy, Harini Nazir Shezeh Behema. Now I'm going to be a Nazir based on the fact that this animal is a behema. Fourth guy, Harini Nazir Shein's a behema. No, are you kidding? That's not a behema. I'm going to be a Nazir based on the fact that it's not a behema. Fifth guy, Harini Nazir Shezeh Chaya U Behema. I love the fifth guy. Not taking a side. Right? It's both. It's a Chaya and it's a behema. And I'm going to be a Nazir based on that. Sixth guy, Harini Nazir Shein's a lo Chaya V'lo Behema. Sixth guy is convinced that it's neither. Now, if it's neither, so then where is it? Where does it stand? I guess it's in a category all to its own. It's not a behem, it's not a chayim. Okay, Harini Nazir She'echa Mikem Nazir. The seventh guy says, look, I'm connecting my Naziros with one of you. One of you is going to be a Nazir, so I'm too going to be a Nazir. The eighth guy, Harini Nazir She'echa Mikem Nazir. I'm going to be a Nazir based on the idea that none of you are going to be a Nazir. And then the ninth guy, Harini Nazir, Shekulchem Nazirim. And the ninth guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir based on the fact that all of you are going to be a Nazir. So, Are Kulan Nazirin. Every one of them is going to be a Nazir. Does that sound a little bit strange? They can't all be right. It's not strange. Our Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is of the opinion that Hektish Shos is considered Hektish. So like the Mishnah over here, there's the last Mishnah of the fifth Perek. So the Mishnah is going like full circle from the beginning of the Perek. Is it a little bit strange that there's a Stam Mishnah here at the end of the Perek that is going like Beit Shammai? I think so. I think it's a little bit strange. But, okay. I haven't seen anyone comment on why there would be a Stam Mishnah going like Beit Shammai, but that's what we're looking at right now. Okay, just to finish up, the Gemara has two brises that it wants to share with us. Tanichada Tisha Nazirim. So we have one brisa that says there are 9 Nazirim, meaning what we just went through in our Mishnah. Of the 9 people, each one making a declaration, some of them might be right, some of them might be wrong, doesn't matter. In other words, it might have been Hektish Patos, but 9 of them are going to be Nazirim. So that's one brisa, and that complements our Mishnah perfectly. And then there's another brisa. And the other brisa says, Tani Idach Tesha Nazirios. The second brisa describes where it's one person who now is going to go through 9 terms of Nazirus. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama Tisha Nazirim could go into Havig Avra Tvei, Didfas Vazobe. Now, as far as 9 people becoming a Nazir, that is exactly like we just described in our Mishnah, where you have one person followed by another person, and each one of them making successive statements, just like we saw in our Mishnah. Alatation is zero sechad gavre hechem mishkachala. But you know, that second brisa describing 9 terms of Nazirus, let's think about it. The Gemara says, Bishlama mishkachala kedanan. The 6 statements can be said, meaning here we have a guy, one guy. And imagine, he said, you know, see that koi over there? It's a behema. I'm going to be a Nazir because it's a behema. You know what? It's not a behema. I'm going to be a Nazir because it's not a behema. And then we go through all 6 of them. Now, again, obviously, at certain points, his facts aren't straight. But again, our Mishnah subscribing to Beit Shammai, your facts don't have to be straight. As long as you keep declaring yourself to be a Nazir, you're going to be a Nazir. But then you get to 7, 8, and 9. Because remember in our Mishnah, what was 7, 8, and 9? 7 is another guy comparing himself to the first guy. So if the whole scenario is describing one guy, so now what is he saying? Just like I'm a Nazir, so too I'm... In other words, it doesn't make sense. You need to compare yourself to somebody else. So Hech Mishkachala. Bishlam Mishish Mishkachala Kidnanan. Avatlas Hech Mishkachala. How do we get to the last 3 scenarios if we're talking about one person? Amar Sheshes Kigon, Damar Haini Nazir, Unazir Sakol Alai. Tosus explains that the way Rav Sheshes presents this brisa where it's talking about one person is that it's one person after the 9 people. Meaning, you go through the whole scenario of our Mishnah, where 9 people declare themselves to be Nazir, whether this animal is a behema, not a behema, a chaya, not a chaya, maybe both, maybe neither. Okay? In other words, the sixth possibilities. And then 7, 8, 9 is the seventh person, eighth person, ninth person. 7 says, I'm going to be an Uzzah because one of you are. Eighth one says, because none of you are. Ninth one says, because all of you are. So you start off with the case just like our Mishnah did. And now in comes the tenth guy, which is great because now we have a minion. Okay, so and they can daven now. But here comes the tenth guy. And the tenth guy hears all this conversation. He says, you know what? I'm going to accept upon myself the number of terms of Nazirus that all of you collectively have taken upon yourselves. Each one of you took one. I would like to take the sum total of all nine of you. That would be what the Braisa would be describing. And then I guess you can question what's the Chiddush of the Braisa. Okay, that's, I guess you can question that already by number 8 and number 9. Okay, but anyway, the Hadron Alech Beis Shammai, that's the end of the Perek. And we start now the sixth Perek of the Masechta. Okay, this is how it works. We've been discussing now from Perakim 1 through 5, Kabbalas HaNaziris. We talked about taking on Naziris. The sixth parak over here, basic parak within the Masechta, is now going to be discussing the actual Isurei HaNazir. What's prohibited to a Nazir? So before we start with the parak, let's go through the Pesukim. The Torah actually is very clear exactly what's going to be asked to a Nazir. Three things that are asked to a Nazir. We're going to go through the Mishnah momentarily. But just to become a little more familiar with the Pesukim, so we're in Parshas Naso. Sefer Bamidbar Parshas Naso Perek Vav Vayidaber Shama Moshalei Mor Daber Bnei Yisrael Vamata Lahem Isho Isha Ki Aflu Lindor Nader La Nazir La Hazir La Hashem. So a man or woman decides themselves to be a Nazir. Next, Pasuk Beis Miyain V'Sheicher Yazir. So you can't drink wine. Now Sheicher, when we see Sheicher, generally speaking, it means beer, but not in this context. In this context, in the Torah, the show with the word Sheicher over here is also reference to wine. Pasuk translates a little bit strange. The Pasuk then sounds like it's saying wine and wine. So, but if you look at Targum, and Rashi over here on the Chumash quotes the Targum. So Targum Unklus writes, Mechamar Chadat Va'atik. We're talking about new wine and old wine. Okay? That's Yain V'Sheicher. Yain is the reference to new wine. Sheicher is a reference to old wine. Chometz Yain V'Chometz Sheicher Lo Yishteh. Chometz is generally speaking a vinegar. So vinegar that comes from new wine, vinegar that comes from old wine. Vinegar usually is not from new wine, but okay, either way. V'chomishras anavim lo yishta, anything soaked in grape, a person's not allowed to drink. V'anavim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel, and even grapes, whether they are moist or whether they're dry. I guess what we would call raisins. So a person's not allowed to, the nuts is not allowed to eat. And then Pasuk Dalet seems to be a little bit superfluous, as Pasuk Dalet kind of recaps this portion of the Nazir. During the days of his Nazirus, anything that is produced from Gefen Hayayin, from the grape of the vine, from Chartzanim until Zag, from the seed to the skin. Okay, even though I said it pretty clearly and pretty confidently, you'll see in the Mishnah, it's not that clear exactly Chartzanim and Zag, but for now let's just say it. From the seed to the skin. Lo yachal. Kol yimei neder nizro. Okay, so good. So Psukim, Gimel, and Dala dealt with the fact that he can't eat any grape product, can't drink any grape product. Next, Pasuk Hei. Kol yimei neder nizro tar lo yavar rosho ad melos yamim asher yazir la'ashem. Kodesh yeh gadel peras ha'rosho. So Pasuk Hei deals with the fact that can't cut his hair, can't put a razor to his head, can't cut his hair during his Nazirus. And then Pasuk Vav. Kol Yimei Haziro LaShem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. Then he cannot become Tamei. And then the Torah goes on to articulate. Laviv Lamo Lachiv Lachato Lo Yitam Alahem B'Mosam. Not even for close family members. Basically, in this regard, he's going to be treated like a Kohen Gadol. Which, by the way, if you want to take a peek ahead into the seventh parak of the Masechta, Kohen Gadol. We're going to be talking about how, in this regard, he's analogous to a Kohen Gadol. Ki nezer l'kavar rosho, he's got a crown on his head. So he can't come into contact, not even with mace of Krovim. Kol yimei nezer kadosh u'lashem, he's going to be kadosh. Okay. So, beginning of the Parsha of Nazir deals with the basic Isurim of a Nazir. So now that we have a little more familiarity with the Pesukim, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah inside. We start now the sixth parak of the Masechta. Shlosh meinim asurim benazir. Three things are also regarding a nazir. Tuma, teglachas, vayotzi, menegefen. Not to come into contact with tuma, not to shave hair, and not anything that is produced on the grave. Okay, I guess one could wonder, the order of the Mishnah as it presents the three Surim is not the same order in the Torah. The Torah gives it first Geffen, then Tiglachas, and then Tumas Meis. The Mishnah over here goes in the exact reverse order. Tumas Meis, Tiglachas, and Yotzei Min HaGeffen. But I guess structurally, I'm going to take a guess. I haven't seen anyone say anything here, but I would guess structurally, because the Mishnah is now going to segue into a more detailed discussion regarding the Isser of grapes, grapes products, and grapes derivatives. So I think the Mishnah would like to set itself up where the heading is, you know, A, B, C, and then launch into a discussion of C, right? Which, if you remember, is back in the Durham, I think. Back in the beginning of Nedarim, we talked about how Mishnayos are very conscious about how to structure its A-B-A-B or A-B-B-A, meaning, you know, generally speaking, the structure of Mishnayos. Okay. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. V'chol hayotzei min hagefen mitzarfim zeh im zeh. Any grape product is going to combine one with another, meaning we know that in order to violate the Isser in the Torah, so you have to eat grape product. In order to violate the Isser and be subject to punishment, to Malkus, so you have to eat a requisite amount, what we call a shear. So how much the shear is? So when you're eating, the shear is a kazayas. The Mishnah is telling us that in order to get to the volume of kazayas, so it does not have to be the same grape product. It could be different parts of the grape being put together, pieced together, in order to get to the volume of a kazayas.
And the shear for the seed too?
Meaning the shear is a kazayas. It's a volume. And in terms of getting to that volume, so you could use various parts of the grape product in order to get that. So and right, and even though seeds aren't edible, but the Torah says that you're going to be liable for eating seeds. Now, one seed by itself, no, but enough seeds collected together where it gets you to the volume of a kazayas, then you're subject to malchus. Vein chayv ad shiyocham en anavim kazayas. And you're not going to be subject to malchus until you eat a total of a kizayis. Mishnah Rishona Omeris. We're now in the top of Lamed Aleph Beis, and here we go now with a discussion of, look, when we talk about grape products, so we're talking about food and we're also talking about drink, right? In other words, as the fruit, we're obviously talking about food, something you eat. And when we're talking about a food, we know that the shear for a food is a kizayis. But also, an extraction from the grape product is wine, right? The most popular extraction from the grape product is wine. Vinegar also, but... And when we are talking about now drinking, so in the realm of halach and shiurim, so generally speaking, drink and food are not the same. When it comes to food, the shiur, the general requisite shiur for food is a kazayas. When it comes to drink, the general requisite shiur is a revius. In other words, we talk about a liquid measurement of a revius. So here now in the Mishnah, we're going to have a discussion in the Mishnah itself, is that when it comes to the Nazir, and when we're talking about drink, which shear are we following? Do we follow the shear for food, or do we follow the shear for drink? And this is now going to be the basic debate that takes place in the Mishnah. Mishnah Rishona. The earlier Mishnah, right? This is interesting, how the Mishnah is making a reference to Mishnah. But, in other words, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebaal Peh, as it went from being an oral tradition to being put in writing, so it didn't happen overnight. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't write. I mean, he wrote, but he didn't write it from nothing. It wasn't Yesh Me'ayin. Meaning there were already versions of Mishnayos that were already being handed down from one generation to the other. One generation to the next. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the grand editor. He put it in a more organized form. But in other words, there were earlier versions of Mishnayos. So here when it says Mishnah Rishona, we're basically talking about an earlier Mishnah. So Mishnah Rishona Omer Sashishta Revius Yayin. So he says that when it comes to drinking, so what's the shear going to be? Revius. Meaning that even though he's a Nazir, and even though for the grape food, it's going to be a kazayas, but once you shift over to once you convert the grape food into a liquid, otherwise known as wine, So now the shear is going to be converted into a revius. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu Shara Pita B'Yayin V'Yeshba Kedei Letzaref Kezayas Chayev. And Rabbi Akiva to this Mishnah Rishona argues. Now, this sheet of Rabbi Kiva is going to be discussed in more detail later on. Lamed Zayin, there's a Tosus on Lamed Ches that discusses it. There are really two things that come out from Rabbi Kiva over here. Let's go over both points. Number one, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona says that when you convert the grape food into a liquid, otherwise known as wine, so the Mishnah Rishona says the shear changes. Meaning, as a food, it's a kezayis. Now, as a liquid, it's now a revius. To that, Rabbi Kiva says no. On other areas of halacha, yes. Meaning you're drinking Kiddush on Friday night. Right? You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Dal Kosis on Pesach. So for that, you need a revius. Because that's revius is the standard shear for drink. However, for the Nazir, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that even though the grape food was converted into a liquid, wine, nevertheless, there is a constant shear for Nazir. And that shear is always going to be kezayis. Now, in terms of a food, it's very easy to measure kezayis because that's a volume. How do you do wine? In other words, in terms of a kezayis, so there, the Tosfos says later on, the Gemara is going to talk about displacement. Meaning, basically, you take a kezayis, you put it in the liquid, you allow whatever to come out comes out, whatever displacement it creates, so that's the amount that you would be chayiv if you drank a kezayis of wine. Generally speaking, yes. In the world of Nazir's exception. An exception to the rule. It's based on a limud. Okay. So the that's one.
Whatever the bread would soak up.
Okay. And then there's another point also for Rabbi Kiva. I will only briefly mention it now, but really the discussion of this second point is going to come up later in the perek. And that is the following. Look how Rabbi Akiva articulates it. Now, we're in Lamed Almed Beis. We're looking at Shitas Rabbi Akiva. It's the second line down. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afilu Sharapita B'Yayin. So you take your bread, you dip it in wine, V'yeshba Kedei Litzaref Kezayis. And now you have a tziruf of kezayis, meaning now you have a kezayis. So again, the first point is that even though it's a liquid, nevertheless the shear is a kezayis. Okay, that was point number one, which we already went over. But now there's a second point to take into consideration, and again, I don't want to delve into it now, but I'm just going to mention it. And that is that the way Rabbi Kiva formulates it, it sounds like the following. The wine itself does not have a kezayis. It's that I'm dipping the bread in wine, now the bread comes out, the bread plus wine is totaling a kezayis. So basically, because the bread tastes like wine, so the entire combo is now going to bring about Malkus, even though he's not eating a kezayis of just wine. It's, let's say, just for argument's sake, let's say of the kezayis, 50% of it is wine, 50% of it is bread. But because the bread is infused with the flavor and the taste of wine, it's gonna be mitzarif, it'll combine, so the person now will be chayav malchus.
Does it matter if it's rogue?
And this is a concept known as heter mitzarif le'isser. The bread, obviously, for the nazir is perfectly fine. It's that now when I combine the two, so the two now are going to be able to meet the requisite shear, so the person will get malchus.
One drop of wine and a bunch of
bread would just be... Right, so correct. How much... Right, so how much wine needs in order... Do you need in order to get, to basically trigger this principle? I'm not sure. Admittedly, I'm not sure. But this is a concept of what's called heter mitzarif le'isser. Again, it's a concept we're going to be discussing later on in the parak. I just bring it up now because this is a mission that is the source for this.
What's the share for
an Israel
drinking water?
Why? Kezayis, meaning according to Rabbi Kiva. The Mishnah Rishona says it's a revius. Because the Mishnah Rishona is thinking it's a liquid like any other liquid.
So does that apply like Nevela? Kosher meat and then
Heter Mitzarev Yisrael? Yeah, so where else are we going to apply this principle of Heter Mitzarev Yisrael? That's a good question. Let's wait. I mean... It's been a while. I don't remember specifics. Okay. Well, hopefully, we'll all get to remind each other. Okay. V'yesh b'kedei tzarif kezayis chayiv. Okay. V'chayiv al hayayin b'fnei atzmo, v'al hanavim b'fnei atzman, v'al hachatzanim b'fnei atzmam, v'al hazagim b'fnei atzmam. And then the Mishnah makes now another point. And that is that when you're eating a grape, so in order to be liable, it's not the pshat that you eat it, you take a grape, you stuff it, you put it in your mouth, and you're eating. And you're eating the seed, and the skin, and the pulp in the middle. In other words, here, for the nazir, to violate the iser, it could be any part of the grape, even if all he's eating is just that part of the grape. So for example, and this is strange, but this is exactly the point of the Mishnah. Let's say he's got a kezias of grape seeds in front of him. Nothing other than grape seeds. Right? Let's say, I know, we've done such a great job mutating the grapes nowadays. Baruch Hashem. So grapes we eat don't have pits. I remember as a kid, every grape I ate had a pit. Okay. Or maybe that's just what my mother bought. Whatever the case is. But, in other words, nowadays, you almost never find it. So, okay, seedless grapes. So, but let's say all the person has in front of him is just the seeds. They're not edible. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Despite the fact that they're not edible, but the Torah says, don't eat the seeds. And because the Torah says, don't eat the seeds, so now for the Nazir, that's going to be an Isser. And even if all he's eating is the seeds, it's still violating an Isser. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, and Chai Vashi Ochel Shnei Chatzanim Vizag. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, in order for a person to be liable, he has to eat two Chatzanim and one Zag. Okay, why those numbers? So again, stay tuned. Later on, we're going to be discussing what the source of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is. Elu heina chatzanim ve'elu heina zagin. So earlier this morning, I went through the pesukim inside, and the Torah is very clear in pasuk dalin that you can't eat any part of the grape. Again, just to review the pasuk, kol yemei nizro mikol asher yasa migefen hayayin. You can't eat anything that comes from the gefen hayayin. Mechatzanim ve'azag, from the chatzan to the zag. So the Mishnah over here deals with such a basic issue. And that is, what's the chartzan? What's the zag? What's that talking about? So ma'in chartzanim, ve'elein chartzanim ve'elein zagin. And this is a machlokas. Chartzanim elo chitzonim, zagim elo apanim, and divrei Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Yehuda, the chartzanim is the skin. The zag is the pit. Rav Yossi omer shelo titeh. Rav Yossi says, look, let's not make a mistake. Meaning Rav Yossi doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yossi says, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a mnemonic, I'm going to give you a memory aid, so that from this point going forward, we're never going to forget which one's a chartzan and which one's a zag. So, kizug shabahima. Think of the bell around the neck of an animal. Hachitzon, zug. Now, this mnemonic only is going to help you if you know the construct of a bell and you know what everything on the bell is called. So, right, good memory aid. But of course, it's going to be an aid if you know what the bell is. So the chitzon, the outside of the bell, so that's called the zug. Okay, good. So first thing you got to do is commit that to memory, and then you can hook on the next point. And vapanim, inbal, and the inside, or we would call the anvil, right? The inbal is the, that's the inside. But anyway, but the point he's making is as follows, meaning that when it comes to the grape, so the seed. Let's start from the outside. The skin, so that's the zag. Okay, that's the shell of the bell. That's the shell of the grape, otherwise known as the skin. And now by process of elimination. So if the zag is the skin, so the chartzan is the seed. Okay. Rashi and Chumash. So Rashi and Chumash takes a stand. And Rashi and Chumash writes, Chartzanim heim hagarinim. Rashi and Chumash likes Rav Yossi. So the sides with Rav Yossi. Chartzan is the seed, and zag heim haklipa shemim bechutz. And the zag is a skins. Shechartzanim besocho kinva bezug. And Rashi then quotes the analogy that Rav Yossi just quoted. It's like the bell. The zag is the outside. The chartzan is the seed inside. Okay. We start with the Gemara. We are on Lamed Aleph Beis, where we are starting the first sugya. Let us begin. Shloshim minim asurim benazir, hatuma v'chule. Hayotz min hagefen in gefen atzma lo. So masisin v'lo k'Rabbi Rabbi Eliezer. No, I think I was right the first time. I think it's Rabbi Elazar. Okay, when we talk about what's prohibited to the Nazir, so one of my personal favorite products when going into the local Israeli shawarma place, and that is the grape leaves. Okay, I'm a big fan. So a person's a Nazir, so can he order the grape leaves? It's a simple question. So from our Mishnah, the Gemara wants them to deduce that our Mishnah is okay with it. Meaning because our Mishnah is very clear in terms of articulating what can the Nazir not eat. The Mishnah is focusing on the grape, the skin, the seed. But it seems pretty clear a diuk in the Mishnah could be, in other words, only the fruit of the vine and nothing else. So in other words, it would seem like the leaf would be fine. And let's take a look again at the diuk of the Mishnah. A diuk of the Gemara, I should say. Because what does the Mishnah say? Anything which derives from the Geffen. The word Geffen itself is a reference to the vine. So the Yotzei min HaGeffen, we're now talking about the offshoot from the Geffen. Sounds like it's describing the fruit and only the fruit. And that's what the Gemara now would like to suggest. Geffen Atzma Lo. Only the Yotzei min HaGeffen, but not the Geffen itself. So Masis Nilok Rabbi Lazar. Detanya Rabbi Lazar Omer. Yeah, it is Rabbi Lazar. Okay, sorry. Afilo Alam V'Lavin B'Mashma. Rabbi Lazar says, leaves, shoots. I guess we're talking about soft shoots. I never heard of anyone, you know, eating soft shoots of the vine. But anyway, so that is one deduction from the Mishnah. Now some say, now you know what? Tosus explains, even if all we had was just that line of the Mishnah, that simply would not be enough, because in that first line of the Mishnah, the If all the Mishnah was just simply says Yotzei min HaGeffen, I would have said anything that comes off the vine, including the leaves, including the soft shoots. So, but according to the second version, when you go on in the Mishnah, you realize that the Mishnah is not going in the direction of Rebbe Lazar. So, because Einu Chayv Ela Ad Sheyochal Min HaAnavim Kezayis. So, but the Mishnah then, as you keep reading on in the Mishnah, it's pretty clear. Because the Mishnah saying you're only going to be chayav min ha'anavim, only when you eat something from the grape. So min ha'anavim in me'agaf not smalom, not something from the vine. Masis nalok Rebbe Lazar, titanya Rebbe Lazar, omer afilo alim v'lulavim ha'mashma. Okay, according to Rebbe Lazar, it includes even the leaves and even the soft shoots. B'mai kamifligi.
Anything that doesn't
look great. Yeah. So the Gemara says, now what is that the source of this debate between Rebbe Lazar and our Mishnah? Meaning, now basically what we're at is a very basic, and as we're going to see in just a moment, fundamental debate. Fundamental because it's going to be based on methodology. Okay, here we go now. One of those Gemaras once again. We're going to be dealing with methodology. This is like the real engine of Torah Shabbat Peh. Right, the part that, you know, it's like when you have a car, like everyone looks at the exterior of the car, no one wants to open up the hood and like understand what's going on, what goes on underneath, and like how the car actually works. So in the world of Torah Shabbat Peh, that's basically what we're headed towards, meaning the klal uprat, like the real methodology of how we derive from the Torah, the using the Yud Gimel Amidah Shatar Nedreshes Fahem. And so now basically we're going to go under the hood. So what is the basic machlokes here between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar as it relates to what can the Nazar not eat? Rav Elazar Darsh Ribu Miyuta, Rabbanan Darsh Klal Prat. So what we have over here is a basic debate that we have seen already a number of times throughout Shas, and that is we have two different ways of using basically a very similar principle. And that is that sometimes the Torah speaks in generalities, followed by specific, what we generally refer to as klal uprat. And we know the rules. Okay. We may not realize that we know the rules, but we know the rules. Right before Psukkah Zimmer every morning, so we say that there Rabbi Shmuel put together, he didn't put it together, but Rabbi Shmuel collected Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nedreshes Bahem, 13 different ways in terms of how the Torah darshins, and after the Kav HaChomer Gzeirah Shavah and Binyanav, so then we get into the numbers 4, 5, and 6. Klal Uprat, Prat Uklal, Klal Uprat Uklal. So we have different ways in terms of understanding when the Torah gives generality followed by specific followed by generality, and then we have klal uprat uklal, generality, specific, and generality. And we know that when it comes to klal uprat uklal, what's the basic rule? Iyat adan elakein uprat. Basically, what happens now is that when you have generality, specific, generality, you look at the specific in the middle, and the specific in the middle is basically is the example. And so therefore, what else is to be included? Things that follow, that have similar characteristics of the example that's given in the middle. Now here in our Gemara, you're going to be a couple of things that we're going to explore. So number one, we have, it's drilled into us every day that there's something called klal lo prado klal. As we're about to see in the Gemara right now, that's not agreed to by everybody. Meaning everyone is not in agreement that the way to darshan is klal lo prado klal, but rather, some are of the opinion that you work with ribui miyud ribui. Now it sounds like the same, meaning ribui, amplification, miyut, specification, ribui, another amplification. We're looking at the same thing, but it's a slightly different methodology one over the other. And basically, what's the difference? Klal lo prado klal is more limiting. Ribui miyud ribui is more expansive, right? Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that basically, when you work with ribui miyut, ribui basically says it's all inclusive, and miyut is just basically picking things out from the generality. That's how generally we look at ribui miyut ribui. As opposed to klal lo prado klal, no, klal lo prado klal basically means here's an example, and it's got to pattern itself after the example. It's almost like klal lo prado klal is like, you got to focus on the examples and see what's similar to it. Ribui miyut ribui is, look, it's basically including everything, but we're just going to pick a couple things out. Maybe it's an oversimplification of the differences between these two different approaches. And we know Rabbi Yishmael's position, obviously, he operates using the principles of klal lo prado klal. And now we know that Rabbi Lazar operates using ribui miyut ribui. And so let's take these two principles, let's plug it in into our case of Nazir, and let's see how all this pans out. So, B'mai Kamiflagi. We're right in the middle of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The source of the root of the debate goes like this. Rabbi Lazar darsh ribui miyut, Rabbanan darsh klal lo prado, Rabbi Lazar darsh ribui miyut. So according to Rabbi Lazar, we use the principle of ribui miyut. So, miyan v'shecha yazir miyet. Now here's where it's a little bit different than normal. Normally, it's ribui, right? Sweeping generality, miyut, and then ribui. Here, it's not exactly that pattern. In fact, when you look back at the Pesukim, the first thing the Torah does is the Torah gives you an example, meaning Pasuk Gimel. Yayin v'shecha yazir, chomets yayin v'chomets shecha lo yishteh, v'chomets ran anavin lo yishteh, v'anavin lachim v'yaveshim lo yachal. So the first thing the Torah gives us is all the examples. Then Pasuk Dalet, kol yimei nizro, mikol asher yaseh migefen. Everything that comes from the Geffen. That's a ribui. And then, migefen ayayin. Mechartzanim v'azag lo yochal. And then we go back to seed and skin. Yeah, seed and skin. I was thinking, am I right? Yeah, am I going like Rabbi Yossi? Yeah. Okay. So here it's a little bit different than normal. Here we go. Miut, ribui, miut, which is an inversion of what normally is. It's normally ribui, miut, ribui. Okay. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about if there, in fact, is a subtle difference between that. So, going back to the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar darshi ribui miut miyan v'shecha yazir miut mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin riba miut v'riba riba kol. So we go now with, first it's a miut, it's a specification followed by a ribui, a total amplification, and then that comes to include everything. So right now, if we stopped here in the Torah, so we would basically say anything that comes off the grapevine, anything. And then my riba, riba kol. So I'm sorry, riba kol. My riba, riba kol mile. My miyut, miyut shevishta. And so but then the Torah then gives another specification. And so basically what we're doing is we're only pulling things out. Meaning basically it's everything. But we're just going to pull something out. What are we going to pull out? So number one, we're going to pull out Shavishta. The hard wood that comes off the vine. Okay, but that's it. Edible leaves, soft shoots, they're included. That's all according to Rabbi Lazar. V'rabbanan darshi klal lo prat. Now we're going to do the same thing now with the chachamim, but now we're just going to plug in klal lo prat, and it's going to go like this: miyan v'shecha yazir prat, mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin klal. Okay, so again, same psukim, just different methodology. Mechartzanim v'azag chazir prat, prat uklal uprat. Now again, as I mentioned earlier, This is a little bit unusual. Usually it's klal uprat uklal. So here it's an inversion. Prat uklal uprat. Iyat adan elakena prat. And so again, now that we have examples, it's got to pattern itself after the example. Ma prat mefurish pri, upsolas pri. Since the Torah's examples are all specific to the fruit of the vine, af kol pri, upsolas pri. So too, it's got to be something which is fruit specific. So, and what meaning? Not the leaves, not the shoots. Ima pramufurish prigamor afkol prigamor afkol prigamor. So the Gemara says, okay, you know the Torah here says it's got to be a finished fruit. So amart imke ma'niach lecha akasav b'mashmao. So shelo amru anavim lachim v'yaveishim haksive. So the Gemara says, now interesting. So the Torah obviously through this methodology is coming to tell us that there's some part of the fruit that's included that's not mentioned. The Bryce over here just wonders, what's not mentioned? Meaning, in terms of fresh grapes versus dried up grapes, what we call raisins, Torah says it. Yain v'chometz, well, maybe it's wine and vinegar. Haksiva, that's also in the Torah. Ha'ein alech aladon kalashon achron, ela kalashon rishon. So now, basically, we're at the point where we have a drasha. The drasha is obviously trying to teach us something in terms of there's something else not mentioned in the Torah that the Nazir can't eat. Well, what is it going to be? So then, if that's true, so then what is the Torah coming to tell us? So basically now what the Bryce is telling us is that this sets the model in terms of how to understand methodology of Klal Uprat. Let me read it one more time. So anytime you have this model of Klal Uprat Uklal, or in this case Prat Uklal Uprat, so you can't just simply say, you know, as long as it matches the example, it's going to be good. So, Elanasa klal mostly fala prat, but rather the klal is coming to be expansive. Achi prot lecha kasuk kedar shapar lecha benazir, unless we have another specific example, like over here in Nazir. Okay, I know that came out a little bit vague. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit better and explain it a little bit better in terms of what exactly. What exactly is being driven out over here? Okay, ad kan divrei habraisa. Just summarize, and we'll do a little bit more this morning, and then we'll finish. Okay, the braisa. I'm sorry. We have a machlokus between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim in terms of what the Nazir can eat. Our Mishnah, which is reflective of the position of the Chachamim, is that it has to be any fruit that comes off the vine, grape product, which is part of the fruit. So wine, vinegar, seed skin, pulp, anything that has to do with the fruit. Outside of that, however, the Nazir is good. Nazir can eat the seeds. I'm sorry, wrong. Right. Nazir can eat the leaves. Nazir can eat the shoots. Nazir can eat anything outside of the fruit. That's according to the Chachamim, who use the methodology of Klal Uprat Uklal. As opposed to Rebbe Elazar, which our Mishnah is not subscribing to, and Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that the Nazir cannot eat the leaves and the soft shoots. Why not? Because he looks at the same pasuk, but plugs in a different type of methodology, that of ribu imiyut. And so again, based on these two different approaches, so it's going to determine what is included in the Isser of the Torah. Okay, this braisa over here, very, very basic in terms of understanding methodology. Let's just do one point in the braisa and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Amamar, ma prama force priopsolas pri, I've called priopsolas pri. So pri inve. So look, when the braisa here describes the fruit, so we understand. Anovim, grapes. Psolas pri mahi. But we're talking about basically the discards of the pri. What is that a reference to? So the Gemara says chometz. So good. So we're talking about vinegar. All right, vinegar are the after effect of a pre, meaning after you turned it into wine, after you let the wine sour and ferment and turn into vinegar, good. So that's another can eat as well. Av kol pri mahi. Now we are saying also in the Braisa that the kol pri, then that's a reference to what? So that's guarki. Guarki says Tosfos is a reference to immature grapes. Not really edible, but again, it's a fruit, it's a grape product, it's a grape fruit. And
so they get vinegar, right?
Huh?
So they get vinegar.
Okay, right. Good. Av kol de psolos pri mahi. And then one more thing, mentioning the psolos pri. So Amar Rav Kana Lasuya Inve Dichrin, interesting, Tosfos over here, wormy grapes. Okay. I mean, the word Dichrin literally means male grapes. But Tosfos understands this to be the wormy grapes. Vi'ad zag. And then one more thing to go over in the Braisa for now, and that is we go from the skin to the seed. So Amar Avinu Lasuya Debena Beinim. We're talking about the pulp. Pulp also is going to be, which seems to be the most obvious point, pulp also is going to be included in the Isser as well. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the bottom of the Amud. So again, we were discussing today we finished today the fifth parak of the Masechta, talked about Hekdesh Tos, last mission, the fifth parak, a Stam Mishnah that goes like Beis Shammai. I mentioned earlier, unusual, but if I could see anyone who discusses why there's a Stam Mishnah going like Beis Shammai, but okay. The nine people making a declaration of Nazirus based on information which may or may not be correct. Sixth parak, which we started today, a basic parak discussing the surim of a Nazir. Takeaway points: three surim mentioned in the Torah. Mishnah goes through the three, and the Mishnah focuses on the isser of the grape product. Basic machlokas to Tanayim between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar. Our Mishnah only presents the opinion of the Chachamim. Which part of the vine is usher to the Nazir? Our Mishnah, which is the position of the Chachamim, which is based on Klal Prado Klal, says it's only the fruit of the grape and derivatives of the fruit, but any other part of the vine is okay, is permissible for a Nazir. And Rav Elazar, who uses Ribu Amiyut, is going to include also any product of the vine, any edible product of the vine, the leaves and the shoots as well. And one other thing that we touched on today, and that is when you turn the grape food into a grape liquid, so otherwise you make wine, otherwise known as making wine, so what's the shear for it to be subject to Malkus? So that's a machlokus between the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva. Mishnah Rishona says the shear is the revius for wine, and Rabbi Akiva says no, for the Nazir, special gzeres akasav, the shear remains that of a kezayis, the displacement of a kezayis, which again, a little bit later, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, we're going to touch more on this machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Mishnah Rishona.